98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. Brought to you by Collins Comfort Masters, proud home services partner of the Arizona Cardinals. 4 o'clock reset.
Top stories of the day here on the Burns and Gambo show. We bring them to you every day at 4 o'clock. We start and we'll end with news from the Arizona Cardinals. Let's start on this game coming up on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. It was announced today by Kevin Stefanski that the Browns will be without running back Nick Chubb for Sunday's game. Here's Cliff Kingsbury on that.
Yeah, unfortunately, they have another one they can plug right in, Kareem Hunt, who's just as good as anybody in the league. And so Nick Chubb's a tremendous player, and that's going to be a loss no matter what. But they plug one in that can do some special things, and so we know we're going to have our hands full.
Yeah, I think they've also got like 10 players that are questionable for
the game.
So they've got a boatload. So Chubb's been unbelievable this year. 5.8 yards per carry, 523 yards, 4 touchdowns. He had his best game of the season Sunday against the Chargers, 161 yards and a touchdown on 21 carries. So not having him is it very well may change the dynamic of this game. I mean, I think I might lean towards a Cardinal win now that Chubb is not playing.
You mentioned 10 Browns listed as questionable. Among them, their two starting tackles. On the left side, Jedrick Wills. On the right side, Jack Conklin. If Wills can't go, it'll be Blake Hance starting at left tackle. And if Conklin can't go, it'll be the fourth-round pick James Hudson for the Browns this past week. The other eight, including a lot of their defensive backfield, looks like they're going to try to give it a go, but all 10 of those players are being listed as questionable. Cliff Kingsbury, from his perspective, his secondary, Byron Murphy Jr., Marco Wilson, once again, game-time decisions.
They'll both be game-time. We've seen progress, but we got to see how they feel Sunday.
And Jordan Hicks, he is also game-time.
Hicks, we'll see. Like I said, he's made a little progress throughout the week, but we won't know till Sunday.
Well, we'll see. With, you know, listen, Baker Mayfield can still throw the ball. Even though they're a dominant running attack, they could get the ball down the field as well. So getting Murphy and Wilson back will be a big deal. They've got a good tight end who's coming off a big game as well. So I think Isaiah Simmons might have his a lot on the line in this game going up against Njoku.
Mikal Bridges spoke today about his contract situation with the Suns. The deadline for a new deal is coming up on Monday. Is it a big deal if you don't get something done before then?
I just want to be here, man. That's the whole thing is. I just want to... I want to be here and just, you know, it's up to those guys, man. Deadline's close, so we'll see and wait.
The unofficial count from Suns practice today, he said, "I just want to be here, man," about 15 times when he met with reporters.
Listen, it's a great place to play. Everybody's happy to be here right now, and they just, you know, they want to get paid. And I'm hopeful that a deal will get done. What's the deadline?
Monday.
It's Monday? Do you know what time?
I have no idea what time.
Find out what the time of that deadline is. So hopefully something will pop over the weekend and be done. If not, we'll go into the season. And again, the Suns still have control of getting those contracts done next year if something doesn't happen this year.
Game 3 of the best of 5 WNBA Finals tonight in Chicago. The Phoenix Mercury and the Chicago Sky tied at 1 game apiece going into tonight's crucial Game 3.
That Game 2 was amazing. That overtime win by the Mercury, needed to get that one going back to Chicago. Candace Parker. I've seen so many Candace Parker commercials lately. 35 years old, still going strong. So good WNBA Finals so far.
After the Dodgers beat the Giants last night 2-1 to advance to the NLCS, the ALCS will begin in just about an hour as the Red Sox are in Houston for Game 1 against the Astros. Lance McCullers was left off the Astros ALCS roster with a forearm strain. So the Houston Astros going to have to do it without Lance.
Dead to me. The whole series is dead to me.
You don't mind if I put it on here in an hour, do you?
Dead to me. You can put it on. I ain't watching it.
All right. But our top story of the day on the Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
I love it. You just added?
Yeah.
Zach Ertz? Telling you right now, this makes their offense more potent. I think this elevates Arizona, and they're undefeated right now.
Now you add Zach Ertz to an offense that truly doesn't even need him, but to a quarterback that's now learning to spread the ball around when DeAndre Hopkins is doubled. I mean, this team is going to be troubled throughout the season.
I think Steve Keim should win GM of the Year. Like, look at the moves that he's making.
The great teams that want to win, they keep on getting better even when they're strong.
Stephen A. Smith, Ryan Clark, Sam Acho all weighing in on Zach Ertz to the Arizona Cardinals for a fifth-round pick next year and for cornerback Tay Gowan.
Yeah, this is a tremendous move by Steve Keim, and he has been, boy, what a great wheeler and dealer he has been. I mean, the trade for Rodney Hudson, you go back to the trade for Chandler Jones, to get a fifth-round pick in Tay Gowan to go get Zach Ertz, even if it's on a rental. This is what you do when you're trying to win. You're 5-0. You lose your starting tight end. You don't sit back and do nothing. They went out and they got Rashad Rogers, who's a veteran player. They put him on the practice squad. That was a temporary thing. Didn't know if you're going to get the deal done. Then you get the deal done with Zach Ertz. You make that trade. Every day of the week that ends in Y, you make that trade. Veteran player, quality player, great pass catcher, decent blocker. You don't sit back and just, oh, we lost Max and feel sorry for yourself and hope that the next guy up wasn't good enough. Okay?
Not when you're 5-0 and you're trying to win a Super Bowl.
Right, sometimes the next guy up mantra is good, and sometimes the next guy up, you look at him and, yeah, I don't want you to be the next guy up. Nothing against these guys, but that next guy up wasn't on the same level as Max Williams. Zach Ertz is.
Howie Roseman, the general manager of the Eagles, on why they made the trade.
In terms of why we did this, it was about opportunity. Opportunity for the Eagles, opportunity for Zach as we move forward.
He had a conversation with Zach Ertz on Tuesday night about this trade.
Really a lot of communication with Zach, and gave Zach a really heads up about kind of this process on Tuesday. Spent a lot of time with Zach on Tuesday night and talking to him about his future, and a lot of memories about the past too. And it was a hard night on Tuesday night having those conversations, but they were honest. They were good. You know, Zach's an Eagle for life. Zach's family, that will never change, you know, and just very appreciative of him and his contributions.
Interesting, because I thought that after the loss last night to the Bucks, and that was a good game, they almost won. Mm-hmm. After they lost that game, they fell to 2-4. And afterwards, we found out that he knew he was getting traded. But if they win that game, they're 3-3, they're right in the thick of things. So this trade for Philly had absolutely nothing to do with where they are in the standings. They were going to make that trade if they had beat the Bucks. They were still making that trade. So we're pulling it back off the table. Ertz knew he was getting traded. But it is interesting because I thought initially, okay, they're 2-4. They're not going to go anywhere. They're a 2-4 football team. If they win and they're 3-3, yeah, they're right in the thick of things, they still would have traded him.
Kind of runs counterculture to some of the things we've been talking about the last couple of days, right? Hunting and pecking through the bad teams in the NFL, looking for the teams that don't have a win, for the teams that only have one win, and maybe thinking that those were the only teams willing to make a trade at this stage in the season, right? Because their season looks like it's kind of done. Philly, you're absolutely right. I mean, if Tom Brady did Tom Brady things, right? He led the Bucks down the field, and they were able to take a knee and kill the clock. But if Philly wins that game, they're 3-3, and I imagine a lot of the conversation in Philly today is, hey, wait a minute, we couldn't have used him? Dallas Goedert is on the COVID list, and we couldn't have used Zach Ertz to help us stay in this NFC East race? It's a tricky time figuring out when to be able to trade a guy like
that. Listen, we talked for a long time about Zach Ertz as a possibility for the Cardinals. We have. We've been talking about Zach Ertz for a while, but that contract and everything, and they weren't trading him, but now they decided it was time to let him go, and the Cardinals took advantage of it.
Win a pair of tickets to the Suns' home opener. What you need to do is text the word TICKET to 62620, and then listen for your name on Monday during the 7 a.m., 12 p.m., and 4 p.m. hours for your chance to win Suns' home opener tickets. It's the return of the hottest tickets in town, and it's powered by FanDuel Sportsbook. When we come back, one of the reasons why things soured with Zach Ertz and the Philadelphia Eagles, he wanted a new deal. Now that he's with Arizona, does he want a new deal? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. I think back to when Stephon Gilmore, the Defensive Player of the Year in 2019 with the Patriots, got traded to the Panthers about a week ago. And how there was no talk of extending his contract, no talk of giving him a new deal. It was viewed by many in the industry as a rental, like a baseball trade, right? Like a, hey, you come in, you help us, and then
go do your thing.
Go do your thing as a free agent. Go do your thing. Go find a job where you want to find a baby.
So baseball related, right? That's baseball.
That is exactly rentals, how it works in baseball. Whereas in the NFL, typically the conversation is centered around, well, if you're going to trade for this guy, he has an expectation, or you're going to have an expectation of some sort of an extension, right? He's only going to want to go there if he's going to get paid the money he thinks he's going to get paid. So fast forward a week and a half, 2 weeks, whatever it was later, I think it was a week, a week later to the Cardinals getting Zach Ertz from the Philadelphia Eagles. And that was one of the first questions I had in mind. You gave up a fifth rounder and Tay Gowan for Zach Ertz. This is the final year of his deal. He wanted an extension from Philly and didn't get one. Is he just a rental for the Arizona Cardinals?
I don't know. I think it kind of depends on how he plays. On Max Williams, what is the extent of Max Williams' injuries? Is his knee so blown out, or can Max come back? They love Max Williams. I've talked to you about them wanting to extend him.
Yes.
But is his knee, we don't know the extent of that injury. If it's a really bad injury, you might be an audition for Zach Ertz. Maybe that money that was going to go to Max Williams could go to, listen, it's a business. Sucks but it's
Max.
A business.
Yeah, it sucks for Max.
It does. If Max's injury is not that extensive, you're like, yeah, he'll be back, no problem. He'll be back in time for training camp. They like Max Williams. They'll keep Max Williams. I really believe that. Unless that knee injury is really, really bad. Now, they're not going to keep Ertz and Max. So I think it really comes down. Now, the other thing is, if you're not sure on Max and Ertz doesn't play that well, you could be, yeah, you know what? It's not that good. We're not going to keep him. But if he plays extremely well, then you've got a difficult decision to make if you're the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
Difficult decision.
Yeah, you do. It was pointed out by many. Ertz has been the subject of trade rumors for a long time. We've been talking about Ertz coming to the Cardinals, it feels like, for a year, because it has been almost a year. He wasn't able to reach a contract extension with the Eagles going into last season. There were many points during the offseason. I'm telling you, from the end of the regular season until the start of this year, I don't know how many times you and I talked about Zach Ertz coming to the Cardinals. It felt like it was a monthly thing where we were talking about it as a possibility.
And they liked him. We always said that. They liked him, but it was just difficult to get him.
Yep.
Philly wasn't trading him.
So he's going to be a free agent. Here's what he said today about how he handled his offseason contract talks. He said didn't regret it.
I tried to articulate in the offseason how I felt about everything, and I'm not the one pulling the trades, and I'm employee number 86. I don't know. Hopefully it takes a little while for them to get another one in there. But I just do the best I can. And I don't know what happened. I don't regret anything about this offseason. I didn't say anything. I just tried to get healthy and be the best that I could. And I think playing last night, I think if you go back and watch everything, watch the game, not just the catches, but I think I showed exactly who I am as a player again last night. And so I'm excited. I don't regret anything that happened. I don't regret that it didn't happen before the season, because this is a much better way to go out than January 3rd of last year.
Take that time, reflect on, you know, this is like, you know how in football they say after a big win, take the 24 hours, enjoy it, and then it's on to Buffalo or it's on to whoever you play,
flush
right?
It. Yeah, you got to flush it and move on. Yeah.
You, Zach Ertz, you take these, you're not playing Sunday. You take these 24 hours, you put your article in the newspaper thanking the fans, you do your Instagram live, whatever you want to do. You take these 24 hours and you reflect on that time in Philadelphia where you're going to end up in the Eagles Hall of Fame. Pro Bowls and everything, Super Bowl, reflect on that. And then get to Arizona and kick some ass, because this is a team that just traded for you that's 5-0 and has a chance to win a Super Bowl, and they believed enough in you to make a trade for you. And then, you know, you just go, you worry about that. You worry about winning another Super Bowl. So this is the time to reflect. This is the time for him to thank the fans, to be emotional about that time. Because it is, it's emotional. He's been there for 9 years. He had great success, and now he's leaving. But he's also going to a great spot. He's going to a really good spot. And I think when he gets here, I think a lot of that talk will, when he does his press conference here, will be on how he can help the Cardinals.
He mentioned today that Jordan Hicks had been recruiting him over the last couple of days or so. Schefter, when he broke the news this morning, also tweeted out that though Zach Ertz has wanted a new contract, he and the Cardinals have not discussed one yet, according to sources. But Arizona is acquiring Ertz with the idea of making him a regular featured part of its offense.
Did he send that to Ertz to get edited before he put that out there? I'm just curious if he... Zach, hey, here's what I wrote. Can you just edit it, see if there's anything wrong here before I post this?
Temperature in the room just went down about 10 degrees. Hey, Jordan, we don't need to turn down the AC there in your room. Gambo just turned it down for us. Yeah, I left my sweatshirt in the car. Damn, that was cold. I don't know if Schefter ran that by Zach before he hit send
Zach,
on the tweet.
Zach, is this good?
But Ertz has told others in the past. Let me finish what he wrote. Ertz has told others in the past that Arizona appeals to him. From what I understand, the full remaining salary on Zach Ertz's contract is about $5.5 million, and it will be paid in total by the Arizona Cardinals. So I don't know. And for those of you tuning in,
I don't think they didn't have that much cap space left.
No, and that's the other question too. And I haven't looked at like overthecap.com. I bet they had to redo some deals to make this happen. Convert a salary into a signing bonus. You know, the little tricks that you can do with guys' contracts, right, to create a little cap space in the moment. I don't know if they had $5.5 million to be able to just flat out absorb. I bet. And unfortunately, you know, an hour and a half ago, we were supposed to have Steve Keim on the show. Something came up. He had to reschedule with us. It's unfortunate. We would have loved to have spoken to him today. It just wasn't going to happen today. We couldn't make it work today. But that's one of the questions I certainly would have loved to have known from him. One, did you have to move some contracts around in terms of signing bonus and salaries and things like that to accommodate this? And then number two, is there any kind of expectation of a long-term deal? And I think you're right. This to me feels like hey, you want it out? We're 5-0. Come on over, play, like you say, kick some ass, and let's just see where this goes.
Sure goes. Can't
let's
say
see,
anything.
Let's
now.
Just see where this goes.
You can't say yes, we're going to – you don't know. I mean, again, I think a lot of it depends on the extent of Max's injury. This team really values Max Williams. Max is a really good player. It's a really good teammate. If he's able to come back from that knee injury and they feel really good about the surgery and where he'll be, then I expect that Max Williams will be back.
Yeah.
If the extent of that knee injury is bad, then, you know, maybe they'd be open to keeping Ertz.
Let me play one more. This is from Howie Roseman, GM of the Eagles, on how Dallas Goedert kind of impacted this decision.
It's become pretty clear to us that going forward, we weren't going to be able to have both those guys. They're both free agents at the end of the year, and it gives us an opportunity for Dallas to step up and be that number one guy, really have that opportunity for the first time in his career and play a lot, and gives him the opportunity to also put his stamp as a leader on this team, as well as the guys behind him. You know, I think some of the circumstances that changed was getting the chance to see Tyree Jackson and wanting to see him in games as he comes back over the next couple of weeks. And Jack Soul and Noah and these young guys, and giving them an opportunity to play and see what we have in them as we go through the course of this season. We have high hopes and high expectations for all those guys.
Again, the expectation is that he will be ready. Zach Ertz will be ready to play next Sunday against the Houston Texans. When we come back, the league has now had some time to digest the Cardinals' trade for Zach Ertz. Trade grades, it's early, but let's take a look at some next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Imagine Cardinal fans were awfully excited when they heard the news this morning that Zach Ertz was headed here in a trade. I maybe was a little overestimating how excited they were the last time we did our Twitter poll question of the day. I thought like 80% of the people would give it an A. It wasn't quite that high. Let's find out where it is a couple hours later as we update our Twitter poll question of the day with Mitch.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
A, B, C, or
D/F.
Gambo grade.
Oh.
Ouch. How do you feel about that?
I didn't cheat off of Gina Ficarra to get an F. I cheated off how to get, like, C's and D's.
Well, that had to have been the worst feeling, too. If you cheat off of somebody and you get an F because that person also got an F.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm no dummy here. I didn't pick somebody to cheat off of that was getting an F. I picked somebody to cheat off of that was going to pass.
I know better than to cheat off of someone who's as dumb as me. I cheat off of the smart person.
I'm not smart enough to do well in school, but I am smart enough to cheat off of the smart people. There is a certain rational logic to that.
There is.
Which is.
I think they call it a shortcut.
It's something.
You had to sit in alphabetical order, and she was an F and I was a G, so I was either right next door or right behind her every single time.
Just perfect.
It was perfect.
It was a perfect arrangement.
It was a perfect arrangement.
What are we asking the folks today?
So we're asking them, before you guys get more reactions on this Zach Ertz trade, what would you grade it? That's why you let off with A, B, C, D, or F. So we're asking them A, B, C, or D slash F.
And this is Kime's world right now. We're just living in it. I'm giving him an A.
I'm giving him an A on this one, too. The compensation doesn't seem that pricey to me. It's a rental. There's no long-term contract necessarily attached.
What if it was a third? What if it was no Tay Gowan, but they gave up a third-round pick?
Then I'm firmly in the B.
Okay. Firmly.
Same price for Rodney Hudson, though.
I'm firmly a B. Yeah, and I think Rodney Hudson still had years left under his contract and was still considered one of the best players at his position in the NFL. I don't think Zach Ertz has that designation anymore. And it's certainly not as important a position, center versus tight end.
At least for the team compared from last year to this year.
So Hudson's going to be here for years.
Yeah.
Ertz may be here for months.
So to Gambo's point, if it's a third rounder, oh, I'm giving him a B. But because it's a fifth and Tay Gowan, hey, what's the audience say?
Well, the audience, it's ticked up a little bit from when we checked to 230, 59.8% now. So almost 60% say A, 35.3% say B, 3.7% C, and then some losers say 1.2% D, F.
I've been curious, like, what don't you like about it?
Trolls. Just, you know.
What don't you like about it? If you honestly believe that, oh, I hate this trade. Why?
Just hating on it.
Just people that just hate everything.
Just hate everything. It's Twitter.
The supermodel wants it.
We had one or F rated dad joke in the responses. Ed said, "I'd say it fits, but it hurts."
Oh,
yeah.
God. Oh boy.
Sorry, Ed. I had to.
Oh, jeez. All right, thanks, I think, Mitch, for coming by and updating our Twitter poll question today. I'm not really sure that's a sincere thank you or not. Look, when I first saw the deal, I will cop to having the reaction of, that's it? I mean, really, it was a, that's it? Oh, okay, I could totally live with that. I didn't feel that was any part about that deal that I wouldn't think was an absolute no-brainer for the Arizona Cardinals to do, which is why I gave it an A.
It's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer. A fifth-rounder and Tay Gowan, who's—now, if it were a fifth-rounder and Marco Wilson,
you don't
different
do
reaction.
No, you don't do it.
If it's a third-rounder and Tay Gowan, I do it, but I feel like you're paying a much steeper price for him. But a fifth-rounder? Cardinals can get back a fifth rounder if they want.
They're gonna have this. They could potentially have like three compensatory picks too. Cardinals,
especially if he leaves.
Yes,
if he leaves as a free agent, you're right. I think they already did. They looked at like the comp pick formula.
Yeah,
and I think the Cardinals are
projected they're projected to get three compensatory picks. One would be in the fifth round. So the Cardinals right now they've got a first round pick, a second round pick, third round pick, sixth and seventh. So they're going to have that empty period between the fourth and the fifth, but that will get replaced because they'll get compensatory picks, and one of them will be in the fifth round. Look, I was looking at grades. I always like to look at what the grades are. And, you know, one of the grades that I saw on this deal gave the Cardinals a B, the Eagles a B minus. And it said, what does it mean for Gowan? It says, he has a chance to see considerable time, not this season, but the foreseeable future. Gowan has a chance to come to Philly and get a fresh start. He's 6'1". He's got closeout speed. He's a little rough around the edges. If he can develop into a reliable outside cornerback, the Eagles could have some value. So, you know, that's what they say there. And then compensation, what it means for compensation. The Eagles adding the 2022 fifth-round pick gives them more flexibility to move around the draft board. Before the trade, the Eagles had 10 selections in next year's draft, two of which are in the first round, and another that could become a first rounder, depending on, of course, Carson Wentz. So, you know, the compensation thing's a factor for the Eagles getting another pick. But for the Cardinals, this is about getting a player that fits in with where you are and what you're trying to do right now. They gave the Cardinals a B.
I think they deserve higher than that just because I don't think they gave up very much. But I get it. You know, you want to make them earn their A and work for that A. You know, I was thinking about something too, and Kyle Odegaard tweeted something about this morning, and it was making me think about it. You wonder, like a guy like AJ Green kind of looked like a different player in Cincinnati, comes here, kind of rejuvenates his career a little bit.
Yeah.
Can Zach Ertz have a similar sort of, not that he's going to go swimming around in the fountain of youth or anything, but I wonder if there is a similar rejuvenation that can happen to him.
No training camp. Like, you're coming in, you've got a week to practice, and they're going to already have six games under their belt. So I think it's, you know, the learning curve is going to be a lot quicker. I mean, he's not going to have that training camp to get adjusted to the guys and everything. So I think that that benefited, you know, the newcomers that came here, Rodney Hudson, A.J. Green, all of those guys having a full training camp, being here for 5 weeks before you played a game. You make a trade like this, it's like you got to go. Like, you got to go right now. So I think it'll – and maybe it just takes time. Listen, he's a pro. He's a pro's pro. I think he's going to come in. I think he's going to help. He's not going to play this Sunday. He'll play against the Texans. Should be ready to go. We'll have plenty of time to get used to the playbook and get ready, and he'll get a full week of practice in. His impact, I think he'll make an impact on the team. But as far as, like, the A.J. Green impact, I don't know. Not having a full training camp could be a factor there.
It is an incredible amount of skill players for Kyler to be able to throw to. I mean, you talk about the names. I mean, just the names, right?
Yeah.
There's Hop, and there's A.J., and there's Zach Ertz, and there's Christian Kirk, and there's Rondale Moore, and there's James Conner, and there's Chase Edmonds, right? It's just the names that Kyler now has to be able to throw the ball to. And that's nothing against Max Williams, because he was a good name too, and he was a guy who was getting a lot of love in this offense. But there's something about adding a Zach Ertz, second all-time in receptions in the history of the Philadelphia Eagles organization. You mentioned it. He's probably going to have his number retired there when it's all said and done. Adding a guy like that, just it's a wellspring of weapons for Kyler to be able to deliver the ball to.
I always think about it in terms of what are the teams in the division thinking. If I'm the Rams right now, I'm like, oh, darn. You know, you're all excited. Like, let's call it like it is. I mean, are we happy Nick Chubb is out for this game? Sure we are. Okay, we can admit that. We're happy Nick Chubb's not playing. You know, when the Rams found out that Max Williams was out for the year, that was, oh, that's good. It's a big weapon. He's a good tight end. He's a good blocking tight end. That's good that they don't have him.
Yeah.
Now they go out and they get Zach Ertz. If you're the Rams or the 40, like, oh, man. I mean, that's like to them, that like if you're a player there, like, you know, I always think about how does the other team think about it? How did you feel when the Rams got Stafford?
I felt like that was doom and gloom for the Cardinals.
I don't know that Zach Ertz is doom and gloom, but I don't think these other teams are happy that the Cardinals just got Zach Ertz.
100% agree. Yeah, it's not doom and gloom, but it's also, oh man, really? They just got him, you know? When we come back, speaking of bad news around the league, the Cardinals were expecting to face a dual-headed running back monster this weekend in Cleveland. One of those heads has been cut off and will not play this weekend. How have things changed now that Nick Chubb has officially been ruled out? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Any other day, and it's our top story of the day. Nick Chubb is not going to play for the Browns on Sunday. But today is not any other day. Today is the day the Cardinals acquired Zach Ertz in a trade with the Philadelphia Eagles. It's so... like, Zach Ertz. Oh, by the way, Nick Chubb's not playing. Zach Ertz. That's been all day long. But the news that Nick Chubb has been ruled out for the game is substantial, and it's significant, and it's important, and it's a big deal in advance of this game against the Browns.
Yeah, listen, and I think what Cliff said, they've got two of them, right? Kareem Hunt, listen, let's not forget, Kareem Hunt led the NFL in rushing as a rookie with Kansas City. 2017, he led the NFL in rushing. So, but, you know, without Chubb, a two-time Pro Bowl player, he's out with that calf injury. That's a big blow to their running attack because they've got a running attack there. Now, Hunt will get the chance to be the number one guy, and he'll get all the carries and everything. But it's, you know, and he's a little limited as well, but should be good to go. Not having Chubb, like if you could say, hey, you could take one guy. If you said to me, you could take one guy out of the Browns, I would have said Chubb. Hey, you can eliminate one player from the Cleveland Browns for this game against Nick Chubb. Might have been Myles Garrett.
I would have said Myles Garrett.
But I would have went Nick Chubb.
I would have said Garrett, and Nick Chubb would have been my very close second place.
Yeah.
I mean, it's neck and neck between those two guys. If not Myles Garrett, certainly would have been Nick Chubb. Now, here's what you said a second ago. Cliff Kingsbury talking earlier about Nick Chubb being ruled out.
Yeah, unfortunately, they have another one they can plug right in. Kareem Hunt, who's just as good as anybody in the league. And so Nick Chubb's a tremendous player, and that's going to be a loss no matter what. But they plug one in that can do some special things. And so we know we're going to have our hands full.
Statistically, you got Nick Chubb with his 90 carries for 523 yards and 4 touchdowns. That's 5.8 yards per carry. Kareem Hunt, 55 attempts, so half, roughly half. 295 yards, a little more than half of what Nick Chubb has done. But it's his prowess in the receiving game. Kareem Hunt leads the Browns in targets. He leads the Browns in receptions. He's got 149 receiving yards on the year. And if you're just going yards from scrimmage, there isn't that much of a difference between the two of them. Nick Chubb has 558.
Yeah, almost double, right?
Kareem Hunt has about 444. So Kareem is about 110, 114 yards behind Nick Chubb for total yards from scrimmage in that offense. He's a very good player, too.
They have the most explosive runs in the NFL. They have 27 explosive runs. And that running back tandem, two guys averaging over 5 yards a carry, I mean, that's tremendous. And, you know, there was a story in The Ringer the other day. How far can the Browns' running game take them? And it said Chubb and Hunt have combined to make Cleveland the NFL's most effective team on the ground. And they are. That's how they win football games. They're not, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. is not the same player anymore. Jarvis Landry hasn't been playing. He's been cleared to play, but he's only had one practice. I don't know that he plays on Sunday. So they've really relied on that ground game. They've got a very dominant ground game, and now you take Nick Chubb out, and that offense is probably, you know, it's not going to be as dynamic without Nick Chubb, that's for sure.
No, there were a whole bunch of guys who are being listed as questionable for the Cleveland Browns in this game, and we'll get to the Cardinals' injuries in a second because their list is somewhat substantial as well. Of the 10 guys, there are certain position groups that just really stand out when looking at the list. The one that stands out to me the most are the two offensive tackles for the Cleveland Browns in this game, Jedrick Wills and Jack Conklin. Neither one of them have practiced all week. Wills tried on Wednesday and had to stop. Neither one of them were practicing again today. They're both listed officially as questionable, but it sounds like the word out of Cleveland, they're not expecting either one of their starting tackles to be able to start.
You think about
this game.
Conklin. Conklin's out with that knee injury. His backup is a rookie, fourth-round pick out of Cincinnati, James Hudson III. You know, so if he doesn't play, they're going to go with a rookie. That could be a field day for the Cardinals even without Chandler Jones. So that's a big deal. You know, it's not like they have a quality backup coming in. Hudson goes down, Max Garcia comes in for the Cardinals. That's a big deal. But if they lose Conklin, they got to go with a rookie fourth-round pick against the Cardinals. So you just keep your eye on that. I mean, injuries are such a big part of the game, and obviously they've got a bunch of guys that are questionable to play. But losing Chubb, and look, they ruled him out. So, I mean, it is what it is.
He's out.
He's out. He's not playing.
Blake Hantz would replace Jedrick Wills if he can't go. He actually made his NFL starting debut last week against the Chargers. Held his own against Joey Bosa. They were kind of bullish about how he played in that game. The other position groups, you're talking about your edge rushers, Jadeveon Clowney, Myles Garrett, Tack McKinley. They're all listed as questionable, but the belief is that Garrett, Clowney, and McKinley should be able to play. And then in the defensive backfield, Denzel Ward, who apparently is going to give it a go, Greg Newsome, their other starting cornerback, kind of a we'll see situation. So real dicey situation for the Browns and their injuries going into this game. From the Cardinals' standpoint,
and Ward only played 9 snaps last week against the Chargers.
Yeah.
So he said he expects to play, and he's practiced a couple days. But and he's the guy that they would probably put on DeAndre Hopkins? I mean, he's the guy that I would expect that part of his job duties is going to be, you know, going up against DeAndre Hopkins, so that will be a big deal to keep your eye on, too, whether Ward's were able to go or not.
Here's your Cardinals injury report, and it's brought to you by The Joint Chiropractic. Feel better with affordable, routine chiropractic care from The Joint. Your back, baby. Rodney Hudson, Tanner Vallejo, both ruled out for this game. Neither one of them will play. Hudson, we knew about Vallejo. We were starting to suspect he might be out. The guys who are listed as questionable. Kelvin Beachum is questionable. Chase Edmonds, Jordan Hicks, Byron Murphy, Marco Wilson. Those are your questionable players. From Cliff's perspective, we got a lot of, we'll see. Here's Cliff on Hicks.
Hicks, we'll see. Like I said, he's made a little progress throughout the week, but we won't know till Sunday.
Here's Cliff on his corners, Byron Murphy and Marco Wilson.
They'll both be game time. We've seen progress, but we got to see how they feel Sunday.
Basically, do you think I'm Kevin Stefanski and I'm going to tell you who's not playing? I'm going to hold that till Sunday so he doesn't know. I mean, I think some of them are game time decisions. A lot of times,
you know,
this week,
you don't want to say.
Maybe. And I think a lot of times it's there's still time left. Let's see. Let's just see. I mean, it's likely that Murphy and Wilson play. They were back. They were practicing. But, you know, they want to see how these guys recover from the practices, too. That's always a big thing with trainers. Okay, you haven't played. Now you're going to practice. Let's see how you recover from the practice. Okay, yay, practice. Now let's see how he feels tomorrow when he gets out of bed.
Were Marco Wilson and Murph both back at practice today? I hadn't seen. Did you see that?
I thought they were back.
I saw that Jordan Hicks was back. I saw that Hopkins was back.
Okay.
I didn't know if I saw that Byron Murphy was back at practice today.
I'm trying to look right now.
Look at that. I'm sorry. They were back. They were limited. You're right.
I saw that.
Yep.
Yeah.
You were right. They were limited in practice today. Marco Wilson was limited. Byron Murphy was limited. Jordan Hicks, Chase Edmonds, Kelvin Beecham. They were all back at practice.
So a lot of time with the trainers, okay, you're limited, you're back. So you don't just, hey, they were back at practice, they're going to be good. The trainers don't want you to say anything because they want you to wait. Let's see how the guy recovers. Let's see how he feels tomorrow, right? He practiced today. Let's wait. Let's see tomorrow, and then we can give you a better indication.
And remember, something else to keep in mind, and we've mentioned this a couple times this week, for the third time so far this season, the Cardinals are playing a team that has a quick turnaround right after the Cardinals.
Yes.
Third time. Uh-huh. It happened with the Rams, it happened with the Jags, and now it's happening with the Browns.
Who do they play on Thursday?
The Broncos. They've got
okay,
the-
so it's an a- it's not a division game, but it's an AFC game. So they could very well look at a guy that's questionable and say, look, we're going to hold you out and try to get you ready for Thursday.
Yep. We're going to hold you out because we don't want to have to play you today and then have to play you 4 days later. And a lot of people in Cleveland think that's what's going down with wide receiver Jarvis Landry. Yes, he was designated to return from the IR today, and yes, he practiced today. But the belief out of Cleveland is that after one practice, after missing the last 3 weeks, he is not ready to go against the Cards on Sunday, and they might just wait on him until the Broncos game on Thursday.
Makes sense. That's what I would do if I was them.
Yep. When we come back, the top story of the day, Zach Ertz coming to the Arizona Cardinals, and he will be available a week from Sunday against Houston. So let's ask the most basic questions about the new tight end. How is he going to fit into Cliff's offense? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.